This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and I'm on a new diet called the Pepperoni Cleanse. You just eat pepperoni for 178 weeks and then get lap band surgery.
Hooray! I'm Brandi Posey, and a Beyonce is a unit of measure derived from jelly divided by X times ready equals the number of rings on it, where X equals the volume of delicious displaced by one's booty. Beyonce math!
I'm Tess Barker, and I'm full-blown leotarded.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret? Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandi, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hello.
Hey, guys. We're Lady to Lady. I'm Brandi.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
We'll just bring on our guest.
Yeah.
No
San Francisco superstar.
Fucking around today.
Yeah. Hilarious comic hailing from San Francisco, Kate Willett. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
So wait, did I hear you right? Did you literally just drive into LA?
Yeah, I got here and I came to your house.
Like nowhere. You came straight to our house?
Yeah. I wanted to like have lunch or stop or something, but the traffic was really bad.
Oh, so you're like starving?
No, I'm good. I mean, I eat some fast food on the road. Every once in a while, I like to shame eat fast food in my car.
Oh, I mean,
you have to.
That's what road trips are. Yeah, you get to give yourself the excuse.
Well, except that I'm like always on a road trip.
I know. Tess was saying, she was like, when do we don't get to have this. We all travel all the time.
Yeah. I kind of learned a while ago. I'm like, that doesn't get to be an excuse.
And a road trip like does count as going to Santa Monica, right?
Yeah.
That's what I know.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, definitely going to the West Side.
If it's more than two freeways, it's a road trip.
Okay.
Yeah, that feels correct.
You're fine.
Well, it's like I'm really proud of myself every time that I fly and I don't get McDonald's breakfast anymore. I'm just like, yeah, I'm an adult. That means don't get an egg McMuffin sometimes.
Oh, but they're so good. That's definitely the best thing at McDonald's by far.
That's right.
That is correct.
God, I hate McDonald's.
I mean,
really I like gross. Their fries. That's about it.
It's the least vegetarian friendly of all the restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, even their fries, I think, are fried in beef fat.
Gross.
Really? Damn.
There was one time, it was the time that I broke my butt coming back from Vegas.
Yeah.
I was laid out in this limousine with a broken ass, super hungover. It was like 105 degrees outside. And we stopped at that McDonald's in Prim. And everyone else got like hangover breakfast. And you know when you're like so hungover, all you need is like greasy food.
Yeah,
and I couldn't
but
eat
like,
anything.
You're just like,
So I had to like, can you imagine being hungover with a broken butt and having to eat one of those brown garden salads from McDonald's?
Oh, God.
That was my reality.
That sounds like a nightmare. Oh, I think McDonald's is like the worst. I feel like they like hate animals. So they're like, they just have a cow in the back that they're punching.
They're just for fun.
Yeah, yeah, just for like, take this.
What are we going to do? Put it in our burgers? No, we're just going to punch it instead.
Yeah. Let's put horse in the burgers and just torture the cow.
Yeah. They probably like go through those Tumblr pictures of like animals and interspecies being friends with each other and then find them and murder them.
Yeah probably.
Oh,
but just murder
they
one.
Grind them
and
up
then
together.
Let the other one.
That's what chicken
miss
McNuggets.
It for a while.
Want to make you lonely before we eat you.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Psychological warfare against their animals.
I did a protest of McDonald's. I think that might. No. I've been in two protests in my life. One of them was against McDonald's in high school, and then one of them was when I was a freshman in college when I protested that they weren't letting Ralph Nader debate. And my friends,
I knew. I was like, there has to be a weird Greenpeace Ralph Nader.
I was very into Amnesty International. So that one was fun because some people I knew got pepper sprayed. But we all felt like very heroic. But the first protest was McDonald's, and that was the first time and only time someone pulled up, honked, and said, "Get a job."
Wow.
At McDonald's.
At McDonald's. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Just handing out resumes.
Have you guys protested anything?
Yeah, I protested the Iraq war a lot.
A lot?
Yeah, 2001, 2002.
Is this Bay Area?
2003, yeah. It was a big thing in Berkeley.
Sure.
Yeah.
I actually must have been
kind of exciting though, Berkeley, like at the cusp of the Iraq War.
It kind
of
was. It was exciting.
Yeah,
it was
you don't feel like just five people out there. You have like a legitimate.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And at that point in time, you probably thought there was actually something to be done about it.
I think I thought the protesting was going to work.
Sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then when we went to war anyway, like after all that protesting, it was like it was a hardcore really moment for me about the world. About like, oh, this made no difference. Yeah. Whatsoever.
And then did you hang up your sign? Was that it?
Well, I actually cried a little bit. I mean, I cried because of the war, but I cried that I think that I thought until that point that, you know, if people felt really strongly about something and expressed
it would
themselves,
change something.
That it mattered.
Yeah, it mattered. Yeah. And
yeah, but I think it's true. I think really your peak protesting years are like from 18 to 21, 22. And then you realize, nothing matters.
Yeah. This is not going to change anything.
No.
Man, when Bush got reelected, my heart broke.
God.
I ended a relationship over that.
Did you?
Election.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was dating a guy that was like kind of conservative and we couldn't. I mean, there were reasons.
You know what? Actually, I did too. Anyway. I forgot about that boyfriend, but I was really upset when he got reelected and I was crying and I was dating this guy that was like, just calm down. It's not that big of a deal. And I was like, you monster.
Yeah.
I never called him again, but we were dating for like 6 months.
Yeah. And you just went radio silence?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't call me up either.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I think it was just like.
There's nothing that flares up like. It inside me as much as when you just have like a basic opinion that you can't, you know what I mean? Like
that is like Sean and I's biggest arguments that we get into because we're both very stubborn people and we both have some somewhat polarizing views.
Yeah,
and when we just
that really gets you going.
Yeah, like and we're both like when we fundamentally disagree about something, it's such an infuriating, frustrating feeling.
Do you guys all have partners?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah.
It was. I was a solo for a long time.
I find it like really hard for. It's really hard for me to get my head around how that's possible with comedy. Like I believe you.
We all date comics.
Yeah, we all date comics. Oh, okay. Well, then that's possible.
And I know that's like so the taboo thing that you're not supposed to do, but I think it's the only functional
it's the only solution
option.
Or some like comedy adjacent.
Yes.
Something that actually understands the world.
Yeah.
For us.
We like last night. It was so fun because we went to that weird. We went to Weird Green Screen. They made up a musical. Mm-hmm. Then we drove out to Glendale together to get these chairs for my show. And I was like, who the fuck else is going to understand that
exactly.
I need to do this all at like 11 p.m.
Or when you're like, oh, it's a Friday night and I want to go to a coffee shop and write. And they're like, me too. Like, no one else is going to be down for that.
Yeah. Well, that actually makes complete sense to me, especially if you meet like a really nice comedian who's a good
person.
If you're
compatible. I mean,
well, that's the problem.
I definitely fucked a lot of them when that did not work out.
Yeah. I mean, the route I went was just fuck a few that are bad ideas and then go public with one that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was pretty staunchly against it for the most part. Had like one misstep and then Brendan like was just like, nope, we're going to date. And then he's just a good guy.
See, I think that sounds great, actually. It's hard dating normcore dudes because they get so mad and they feel really neglected.
And
or ladies, too. Ladies, same thing.
Yeah.
Well,
dudes
and ladies.
And the thing is, they are being neglected. And you need someone who's cool with that.
Yeah.
They have to understand that they're
the
other
person. Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean like, their point of view is valid. It's just that's not going to work with your reality.
No, I've had shitty band boyfriends before.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm the shitty band boyfriend. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to understand that nothing is going to come before me getting the attention in this way, and then also please give me attention in my relationship.
Well, you're basically saying I need you to be the other person in our relationship, and comedy is my primary
right
but
lover.
Except that like when you're both going after the same thing, you have that, it becomes like a shared interest instead of something that divides you.
You're just in a threesome with comedy, like that's what we all are.
Do any of you guys feel like it is hard for it to not be competitive?
I think a little bit, but not that bad.
Not really, because I also think that I view it more like when you're with a good person, it's like, oh, I think a victory for them literally is a victory for me. You know, so like I really am rooting for him to do well. And we don't go out for a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah,
we do enough different things.
Yeah, we're in different camps, so it's like it's not really.
Yeah.
Direct competition. So
everything you guys were describing just seems really healthy. It all just seems really, really healthy.
Yeah. Sorry. I know it's really
obnoxious. But I definitely I definitely went through it a lot with like kind of hooking up with comics or like trying to date them. It did not work like many times before this. You know?
I've had a few like week to 6 months long secret relationships with comics.
It's kind of exciting at first.
It is.
Oh, it's very exciting at first. It feels like, oh, we're not supposed to do this.
Right.
And as an adult woman living in San Francisco, there's very few things that you're not supposed to do.
That is such a good quote.
Yeah. So fucking a comedian is like, oh, wow. Oh,
finally got to get it somewhere.
Yeah, like, you're both on the same show. Nobody else knows that you're hooking up. But
oh, that's hot. Oh, and you can like send dirty texts to each other while you're just like...
During the show.
Yeah, coworkers in the green room.
Yeah.
It really makes an open mic tolerable.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you meet a good one, try it, you know.
Yeah. I'd give it another try.
Yeah.
I mean... It'll probably happen anyway.
I mean, it's weird because
you've been on the road and stuff. Like, I don't really go on the road that much, you know. So I feel like that's harder too.
Who knows? I mean, like, I think that it feels like something that kind of just works out when you're with the right person. But I think I have like this fear about getting trapped in something, just because everybody that I've ever been with before has always like, it's just always been a thing about like. Them feeling really neglected, like maybe you were saying in a way that was totally valid, and then it's a huge bummer because it feels like this choice between like the thing that I love or a relationship, and I feel like
it should not feel like that.
It took me a while to realize that you could have both a relationship and a career. Like I think for a while I thought that they were sort of mutually exclusive, and I think that,
but if nothing else, at this point I kind of, well, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I think that in a good relationship, actually, it helps your career.
I think
because
so
it helps
too.
Everything. It helps all parts of you.
I know that's, I mean, that seems like 100% factual, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of examples of that. But at the same time, I think when you're in that like fear space, it's hard to make yourself believe.
Yeah. Definitely. Especially when you have evidence to the contrary, where you have had people that have tried to draw you from the thing that you love, and it's hard not to associate that with that when that's been your experience.
Well, anything that helps you with your evolution as a person, like, and then a relationship should hopefully go in that line to like, continue making you the person that you want to become. If you're in something that makes you feel like you're being stunted, then it's not going to work. But like, I don't know, like being with Brendan has like made me a more full person.
That's
which
awesome.
Is improved comedy. So it just kind of like helps you in different ways.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I got a little bit back on the dating train after a couple of years because I live in this art co-op, and I dated one of my roommates for a little bit, and I was okay, like I don't have to even leave the house.
That's
it's
real
not gonna add any other time to my life. Interested in taking me away from shows because that's the time that he likes to get high and watch anime.
You come home, he's all good and high and all horny from all that anime.
Exactly.
That reminds me, I just read this Reductress like post today about like how to put yourself out there while staying in.
You figured it out. Fuck your roommate.
I think that too. I spent a lot of time like, because I was worried too about time, like, oh, I'm going to spend too much time with a relationship or whatever. But the thing is, me personally was spending so much time having crushes on guys who sucked or fucking guys who like, I just like was always obsessed with a guy, and now it's like, oh, now I'm like in love with someone who I actually give a shit about.
Those hours are being allocated to things that don't make you lose your appetite and start smoking cigarettes for no reason.
Dude, it's so true. I mean, man, it's I have devoted a huge amount of time to obsessed with guys who suck, and I think that I've like let myself think about that as like being sort of productive because I have written a lot of jokes about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. I feel like I could cut that down by 75% and still have enough jokes.
I think for a long time I definitely like used my dating life as like, you know, mine
material
to get jokes from.
Same. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, am I gonna do this forever? Like I wrote some tweet once that was just like, what, you don't want to date me just because I'm gonna talk about you to strangers on the stage, like, you know, because I was just talking about guys all the time on stage. And then it got to a point where I was like, okay, maybe I can, like, I've got enough jokes about this, I think I can like leave.
I'm saying yes to you for the right reasons and stuff too.
It can actually be like a constructive constraint, I think, to put on yourself to kind of take anything off the table creatively. I think creates a level of focus maybe in like other areas. And you still, I mean, the thing is when you're dating someone too, I remember I went to a wedding like right after I started dating Sean, and I was talking to one of the other like girls in the wedding about it. I'm like, I don't know, I just have so many jokes about all the idiots I fuck. And she was like, well, now you're gonna have so many jokes about the one idiot you fuck.
Exactly.
Like, good point.
I don't think I could date a guy that was like 100% no, you can't write jokes about me.
No, you have to.
No. Yeah.
it's got to be fair game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. But have you guys heard, you guys' boyfriends haven't written anything about you, right?
Like, yeah, they have. Yeah.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. I love when Sean talks about me on stage. Oh, my God. It's like, I remember one time, I forget what he was making fun of me for, but he was on Tiger Lily and we had just gotten out of podcasting. I was like, oh, I'll go surprise him and just watch his Tiger Lily set.
Yeah.
And so I was like in the back and I got in there and he was talking about me and I just was cackling so loud that I could tell he recognized my laugh mid joke. And then he like had this look in his eyes like, oh shit, I love it. I love being roasted by my boyfriend, whatever. It's great. Because it's just like, you know, it's a sign of endearment, I think.
Yeah, it can be. It depends on the jokes. Like,
yeah.
I felt bad the other day because I have like, you know, 5 new minutes right now about what it's like to sleep with someone really, really selfish. And I had to
sleep with somebody who is selfish,
who's really selfish in bed. Yeah. And the guy that I wrote those jokes about was like watching my set the other day. Oh. And I was like, you deserve this. But then also I felt like a little bit of guilt about it.
Right. Of course. Does he realize it's about him?
Yeah, I'm sure
he has to.
But you know what? Yeah. I think that that's definitely something that I struggle with a lot. I mean, just not even like in romantic situations, but anything that I write. It's like if you're part of my life, you're going to probably end up in something
you feel,
that I write.
Yeah, kind of bad. Like
but,
you're using.
Yeah. But then I was thinking like that I was seeing myself. I was like, well, why, you know, why at the time that we were being intimate together, could I not just be like, you know, can you give me a little more attention?
Because we save it up. We save it up for the stage.
I was just like laying there, like just writing jokes in my mind. Just kind of thinking about like my like sort of entertaining resentment. And I'm like, I didn't even really give him a chance.
Well, when somebody grabs your boob and goes, mine.
Yeah.
You're going to write a joke about it.
Yeah. But it does feel like sometimes, like I just experience things so I can be like, oh, well, I can't wait to talk about, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes you're like using up people or like opportunities.
But you know what? That's better than not using anything.
Yeah.
I think it
means
that you're at least living your life.
I agree, but I just knew about it too and kind of consented to it, I think, because I've written jokes about him before. So he kind of knew that that was part of the deal. Like he was pointing out things in his apartment that would be funny.
Oh, then he knows.
Yeah.
Hey, you can put this in your set. Was he that guy?
Yeah.
It is. I know exactly that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to like say a joke in front of someone that the joke is about. It's.
Yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine if the tables are turned? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not my boyfriend, but like
someone
you've hooked up with talking.
Like if they were
like
calling you crazy or something.
Sexually.
Or giving.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's horrifying.
I just got like a pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like what if someone said you had like a weird.
That is horrifying.
Yes.
I just felt really guilty.
See? Like, so you have to think about it like.
No.
But what if the person is really
not
nice? Some situation where this behavior is just.
I'm not saying that it's wrong either way, but just like you have to think about it from your. If somebody was going to do that to you, you'd have to be okay with it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like behaviors that I've had that you could do that about. And I feel like I could have a sense of humor.
I'm not
going
to say what it is.
Mine don't have to do with acting crazy.
I don't mean crazy. I just mean something physically. If they like made fun of like fatness or something.
Oh, my God. No, that would be horrible.
No,
I didn't make fun of this boy for like anything that
he couldn't help.
I made fun of him for being drunk and I made fun of him for not being sexually reciprocal.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
Well,
he can
help
out for that.
Yeah, but he can change those two things if he wants to.
Yeah.
But I would never make fun of somebody for how they looked
or something that feels so mean.
No.
Yeah. It's mean and cheap and lazy.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just saying in my head when I think about like if somebody talked, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The nightmare of like
I think that would haunt me to the day.
Yeah. Also, I feel like a joke about like, you know, being drunk and selfish is like something that an audience should hear. Like people should be like, "Oh, am I being that? Are you questioning your own behaviors?" Like, I don't know. I tend to try to write bits from like what can I like secretly be teaching people to some degree.
Yeah,
I'm just
same.
Like think about it from this perspective or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great to like do a bit that's like has a secret like haha, you didn't know that you were gonna get taught something at the end.
And it's good when you can do that without there are some people that you see try to do that and they forget to make it a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just come joke. Straight out
you can't just straight out berate people.
Yeah.
No.
Or like junior college lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to talk about this because we were talking about protesting and how like now we realize that it does nothing. So we went to go see a Groupon production of Rent. Have you seen
Which
Rent?
I protest.
The musical?
Yeah.
I saw it in New York.
Okay. So
relationship with Rent. I was obsessed with it when I was growing up. Great. I really like. I know all the words to all the songs.
Us too.
Oh okay. Yeah.
I kind of pegged you too. For that.
Yeah, but I just want to make sure because we. Yeah. So we brought. So me and Tess are the same situation, and we brought Brandy to a horrible Groupon
production. It'll just be like. It'll just be like we'll be like planning something like December 24th, 9 p.m.
We'll just start singing.
We'll just break into rent a lot.
Yeah.
No day but today.
You guys, it won't get out of my head.
You don't like Brent?
Hey, okay, it's first of all, garbage. We were 12 years old.
It is garbage.
A fucking break.
It's garbage.
It I am. Yeah. I have been. I'm trying to be so nice because I know that it's something that like matters a lot to you guys.
I'm standing by Rent as a good show.
Oh, I'm standing by
it. I think it's. I mean, it's weird because as an adult, it it's really silly.
It's very silly.
It's because
the music
it's like
is
why
good. It wouldn't. It is. Always, know it is good music.
It is good music. But like, why? Like, why wouldn't you have to pay rent? For example, why would that not be?
No, Brandy brought up a lot of good points that I can't stop thinking about.
Fuck yourself. You think you deserve to live rent free for years on end because you want to make weird videos with your friends? Like, the musical is about...
in real life, Mark is a piece of shit.
I mean, I think it's the reason that I liked it so much is because, like, I always imagined, like, being, like...
Well, that's why I think we loved it because we were young and it was like,
we were like these are our people. Like,
these are our people, but now we're like, now we're like the age of those people or older or whatever. Dude. And we're like, okay, paying rent is part of life.
Fuck that Gen X, like everybody else should work except for me bullshit.
Yeah, that slacker shit.
So much. Yeah. It's infuriating. Also, the fucking musical is about a sex worker that murders a dog and then the guy whose dog she murdered.
Whoa, she's not a sex worker. She's a drag queen.
Wait, is she not a sex worker?
I don't think
no.
I think she's just a drag queen. Yeah.
Okay, well, a fucking drag queen murders a dog, and then we're supposed to like her, but then the guy that actually like found a way to pay for his fucking dreams, who pays for her funeral,
well,
is the bad guy.
Well, he did get his money by marrying into it.
I don't, well, and that's worse than robbing an ATM.
Yeah, he didn't even get it.
He
well,
paid
I'm
funeral.
Down for robbing an ATM.
He paid for her funeral. He paid for Mimi's rehab, and he's a bad guy.
He's a douche.
Then he's a douche. He's using his money in the right way.
I think it's funny. I've been thinking about it a lot, and it's so funny because the first, like when he shows up, he's just like, "Hey, like, but if we do this, if you let me convert the lot next door,
we can
we'll open
this.
Condos on the top that'll pay your rent. You can do anything you want." And I was like, "Who would say no to this?"
It's really true.
Yeah.
You don't sell out, man.
Yeah.
He married
somebody. Like, fuck you, you're a sellout.
What
for...
happened to Benny?
What happened to his heart
and the ideals?
Yeah, man. He found a way to.
I mean, it's funny because it's so immature that it's funny that an adult wrote it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Jonathan Larson was pretty young when he wrote it. And it's an adaptation of an opera.
Right.
I mean, the themes that it's speaking to, I think the semantics of them not paying rent and everything are in truth ridiculous. But the themes of being a starving artist and pushed down by capitalist society
exactly,
are somewhat relevant. And at the end of the day, I just fucking love the music.
Who do you think you are barging in with me and my guitar?
Garbage. It's all garbage. It's fucking garbage. It's 3 hours
tell
of garbage.
You, I should tell. I mean, the way that they repeat themes and the melodies under each other.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think it's really good.
Rent.
Brandy's like, I think there's a song that just goes rent.
And there is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
She just guessed it before.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys all have a point.
I am really sad. So we were on the sidewalk. I recorded stuff before or whatever, but we were on the sidewalk and the girl was giving us the bathroom spiel. We also, to be fair, showed you the worst production ever.
That's why did you even watch the Adam Pascal video that I posted on your wall?
No, I didn't.
I knew it.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
It. I wanted you to have some frame of reference before we saw the Groupon production.
Just to see a hot guy with a good voice.
No, I like. I have an imagination. I can understand how a good production of that would have happened. Yeah. But the characters are intrinsically garbage people. So
are
like
they?
I just I'm not gonna root
it that
for
way.
Anybody.
I was 12.
Yeah.
I can't.
But I mean,
and I know that.
But why though? I'm trying to think. Like why?
Because none of them want to pay rent, and they're all incredibly selfish.
Are they?
I don't think they're that selfish.
They're selfish. They're family with each other.
They're all of them have a disease that's killing them. So, you know, they're trying to deal with that.
And
that
they're in a
problem.
Very lonely city. Like, they're estranged from their
family. And
families.
I do think, too, I was telling Brandy, I think that a lot of them seem like at the end of their rope. Like, they've tried to do things a lot and failed. And that's why they're at such a hard time. It's not like the beginning where they're like, oh, yay, I can do anything. They're like, fuck this. Like,
it's time to give up
Rogers
and move to Santa Fe.
I want to write one song before I fucking die.
Yeah. Oh, so dramatic. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe if he had a job and he left the apartment, he'd have shit to write songs about. Like, you need angst in your life. You can't just, like, sit alone and do nothing and then be like, oh, it's for my art.
I just hate that.
That's what
he
learns by the end.
Yeah.
There's
well.
Something I should have told you.
Well, but so we were sitting outside. We were listening
to a restaurant in Santa Fe.
We were listening to the spiel,
yeah,
outside, and she's telling us about the bathroom, and I was recording it, and I can't believe I fucking deleted this recording by accident. But this guy drives by, and he just goes, "I'm in Hollywood."
Yeah,
it was like, perfect.
It was pretty great.
It was a perfect moment.
Yeah, he was the best part of the whole day.
That's so funny.
All right,
so
Brandy.
Was this just like
I know Randy Fish is great. And
yeah.
Still, like,
yeah, I know.
It's a fucking
you can admit that the music was okay and still like Real Big Fish.
Yeah. Their music's fantastic.
Real you Big like Fish. You think Real Big Fish is fantastic?
Yeah, I love their music. My favorite band.
Because you listen to it
from when you were a teenager.
I'm trying to be so nice because
you just yelled garbage at us for 5 minutes.
Because you sing it to me all the time.
I could understand how that would be super annoying.
You guys
No, it's true because, I mean, I remember like in high school and in college and stuff when I was in the theater department, there were always those fucking kids that were singing some musical that I didn't care about.
But you're in the theater department, I mean, you're asking.
You're stepping in the ring.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I don't do a lot of theater anymore.
Yeah,
it's
no,
just mostly
I can't be around
theater people are really.
I can't be around actors.
They seem like the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, theater people too. Like, my favorite thing is always like when they like have to like they're like, yeah, let's see, what are we gonna do today? And they'll just like for no reason just do a grand jeté or be like stretching and like that's just how they converse with each other.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really annoying.
I know. It feels like home to me though. At the same time, it is.
I kind of when I was watching the improv troupe warm up and do their theater games, it was like
you had a little twinge.
It was nostalgic, but it was like that Ben Harper song. I miss the good old days, but I'm sure glad they're gone. It was like
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it was just like
so nice to see the parts of you that you're glad don't exist.
Yeah,
and it is this very like Jungian kind of like reaction where like you hate it because it's you.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but also people like that were never into me. Like I was always the outsider in a bunch of different theater cliques. It was always like, hey you guys, please hang out with me. And then with comedians it's so different because I think since that's like what I'm supposed
to be doing
with my life, and also it's just like my people, we relate.
Everybody
based on the
too
same
all
ideas.
Comedians are like kind of an outsider.
Yeah, they're sort of outsidery and smart, and you know they don't mind talking about weird, dark, serious shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like much happier as in musical theater aficionado. Like I love talking about musical theater to other people who love talking about musical theater.
Brandy, okay, well this is the last call for Brandy. No more musical theater.
There
obviously.
Are musicals that I do like
I know
ones?
But you just don't want us to try, and we'll just won't try.
No, there are musicals that I like. I just really did not like Rent at all. Like
I
disagreed fundamentally with the characters, you know. I mean, it's the style of music is not my favorite. I can get past that. And I can appreciate, like, there are musical theater songs that I like that I can appreciate.
No, it's a very
better
weird,
actors
and
might
it's
have been able to
thing.
Make you like
it's
those
very
characters
cheesy
a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, Jonathan Larson died before he got the final call in it. He died the day before previews went out. And I do think that some changes would have happened.
Maybe, but probably, honestly, at that point in production, not that many.
Yeah.
It was already in here.
But I think there's some parts to me that might have changed.
That might have changed. But
whatever.
Here's the thing with musicals, too. It's very similar to, like, fantasy or sci-fi, where there's
a
level of reality.
In.
You kind of just have to give
That's the thing is, how many things do you watch where you're not just like, you can't always just be like, well, the reality of this is that they did this.
It's a heightened different reality. Like
they're also singing all the time.
I understand that. I just didn't want to cheer for any of the characters because I really disliked all of them. Mm-hmm. Like that was my big issue. Like there was nobody that I was like, I believe in you because you are like actually doing everything that you can to help yourself.
And
that's very
Angel,
frustrating for me
to
watch.
Who's supposed to be everyone's favorite kills a dog.
Angel murders a dog. Like that's likable? That's insane to
he
me.
He went Michael Vick and it's never called out.
Yeah.
He made a dog kill himself. He didn't murder it. He made it kill himself.
I definitely still always think about my life in terms of how it stacked up to my expectations when I was a teenager that were all created based on the musical Rent.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing good. I'm bisexual.
Uh-huh.
I live in poverty with all my friends.
Yeah.
Girl,
oh my
you're
God,
getting
you are
it.
Doing it.
I mean, your outfit right now, very on point rent-wise.
But are you paying
it's
really
like
rent?
A really cute printed mini skirt and like a tight, you're very, yeah.
I mean, you're loving,
like the
you're
updated
Do I look like an art bisexual?
You look like an art bisexual.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. But are you paying your rent? That's my question.
But she's paying rent.
I'm paying my rent.
See, you're better than the musical rent.
Yeah, I'm paying my rent by driving with an app.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
All right, heavy Rent.
Yeah, that was long.
Yeah, that was a very
okay,
analysis.
We'll be back in a second.
back in Lazy Lay. I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with our guest, Kate Willett.
Hey. Listen, guys, question. Do you love us?
We know the answer is yes.
Do you love us so much that you're interested in possibly becoming part of the Lady Lady family?
Ooh.
Why, yes, I am. How would I do that?
Well, you could become
a Lady to Lady intern. We're looking for people who want to do stuff just like post on social media more, post quotes from the show, come up with fun games for us to play, really pretty easy stuff that we just are trying to, you know, do more of. We're trying to put ourselves out there more on like Tumblr. We don't tumble enough. Yeah. You guys tumble enough?
I don't even have a Tumblr.
No. So if you're interested, email us at ladytolady@maximumfun.org. Mm-hmm. You don't need to live in LA. You can live
pretty
wherever.
Much do it anywhere.
Yeah. And just as long as, you know, you listen to the show and maybe can pull some quotes and post them on our Twitter and stuff like that and do whatever. I don't know if you have any ideas.
Yeah. We'd really appreciate it.
So yeah. We'd love it. So
holla
yeah.
at your girls.
Email us. Okay.
All right, Kate. Now, back to business.
Okay.
Are you ready to play a game with us?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you remember something called MySpace?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I was married to a lady when MySpace was going on.
What?
And I was only number two in her top eight.
What?
And I'm not over.
You didn't get top one with your wife?
What was number one?
It was like her high school best friend or something.
Whoa, damn.
Yeah.
No.
Did you guys have a fight over it?
I think it was like 25% of the reason we split up.
Top eight was a very political
big
device.
Deal.
Whoa, sorry. Somebody's... Should we pause? That's her wife. She's coming through. Her ex-wife.
Janet was chainsaw hands.
Yeah. That's just my vibrator, you guys.
Pause for a second.
Yeah.
Pause. Okay, sorry about that. We're back. We're going to play the MySpace quiz game.
Hit it, David.
Ready, David? I got a MySpace.
It'll put a smile on your face.
Now it's time for the MySpace quiz. Quiz. This week on MySpace quiz.
That's what this sounds like for sure. Yeah, that song reminds me of like a children's reading show.
I like how Brandy just comes in like the last minute, like super ambivalently. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Here we are.
You're
again.
Like, are we doing this? Okay, fine.
Yeah. Fucking great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Oh, this one's just really stupid, but I'm going to ask it because it's perfect for a MySpace question.
Yes.
Have you ever made out for more than a half hour straight?
What?
Whoa, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. Next question.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly with sex withholders.
Oh,
Yeah. Like people who are like Christians for a while and they're not over it yet.
Yeah.
Get some those long, hard makeout
sessions. Some
closet
homosexuals in there for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like making out a lot, though. Like, I feel like for non-sex withholders, it's easy to go quickly from making out to having sex, but I kind of like a long makeout session.
Take your time.
I'm all about some making out, but it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Not the first time, but like eventually.
But like eventually.
Yeah. Because we're adults. Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually.
it's one of the pleasures of adulthood.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Paying rent
and having sex
is something that adults have to do.
Yeah. We balance
that. Sucks. Yeah. Like most things about adulthood suck so bad, but sexual
everything is
sexual
great.
Sexual everything
is pretty great.
I think sex and eating candy for dinner are the only two really good things about being an adult.
I mean, you get to make a lot of your own choice. You get to make all your own choices when you wake up.
Yeah,
you
drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they usually involve sex and eating candy for dinner.
Touché.
Okay. Have you ever been cheated on?
Ooh. Yes.
By?
Fucking Phil.
I've only had two really serious relationships, and I think that they both cheated. Yeah. I think I cheated in both of those relationships too.
Okay,
so you guys are both nearing the end.
Just fuck it.
Were like,
You know, I wouldn't say that it was necessarily nearing the end. Like one relationship was like 7 years, and one was like 4 years. And actually,
you're like a relationship person.
Yeah, but not for a long time. But I did have those like two really long relationships, and I think like there wasn't cheating all the time. But honestly, I think like. complete monogamy for that many years is sort of a high expectation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. That makes sense then why you're like apprehensive about relationships now, because I've really had very few long relationships. The longest one I was in was a year and a half. So for me, like, this one's only been 9 months, but I'm still just like, oh, like, this is a new thing. I can, you know.
Yeah. You've never seen it to the end.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, seeing a long-ass relationship to the end is...
because the end is, like, different. 2 years.
The end is, like, 2 years. Exactly. Yeah. It's really, like, the middle into the end.
Yeah.
And, like, that's definitely the part that stays most fresh in your memory. Yeah. Is that, that nice little bottom of the barrel 2 years.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see. Would you ever take back any of your exes?
Like, those two, no, but there's definitely, like, some people I short-term dated that I'd started up with again, that I will start it up with again. I mean, I got some people on, like, an 8-month rotation, you know, like, we get close, intimacy, go apart. But, like, everybody knows it's coming back. Like, we have
a long
talk about how this is not a good idea, this is never happening again, but in the back of everyone's mind is, like...
I'll see you in
January.
A year.
No, it's like the McRib of relationships.
Yeah, exactly. That's really funny.
It's not good for you. It's coming back.
And you know a specific date.
It'll feel special.
And it does. It does feel
but
special.
It's also kind of gross, like a McRib.
Yeah. But like you're also like oddly proud of it that you went for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, how about what year has been your best?
This is probably really corny, but probably this one.
I was going to say, it'd be terrible if you said another one also, too. I mean, I understand if it would be bad, this one, but yeah. That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Because she's crushing it.
Probably just because...
You
like,
can feel free to, you know, brag. Do whatever you want.
Well, probably just because this is the first year that I feel like... I mean, this is the first year that I've gotten to, like, do... a ton of great shows all the time, and that's really fun. Like being a comedian, you always like want to perform in front of people and stuff. Like that's the innate desire the whole time.
Yeah,
and
you like, feel like you're leveling up. Probably it's like, oh fuck, I get to really do this.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, who knows if that'll be like the way that it goes, or you know, if this is just like, a time period or whatever. But either way, like I love to perform, and it's been happening like a lot in a lot of different places. It's been really fun.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
And I like the hippie art commune too. It's fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How many people
cool
live there?
23.
Oh my god. What?
Yeah. It's an old convent. It's weird.
Is it
fun.
Like is it like living in a dorm?
No, it's kind of like living in a co-op. Like it's grungier than a dorm.
And so
it's,
do you have your own room or what's the
Yeah, own okay. room. Yeah, own room.
Everyone has their own room?
Yeah, everyone has their own room.
But you share bathrooms.
Shared bathrooms and kitchen. And there's no like leader or anything. Like that feels different than a dorm too, is that it's like just it's a functional communication based anarchy. And that's kind of good.
Are you guys all friends?
I would say that there is like a loving, good kind of family cooperative vibe there, and that like some people have deeper individual friendships. Like there's people that I hang out with and like leave the house with, and you know, we just do stuff on the weekends and I would talk to about anything. But
yeah,
then there's
I mean,
also 23
people,
that,
people you
there's
can't,
a, yeah
like,
there's also
be
people
BFFs
that like I'll
everyone.
Never go out and hang out with them, but I'm like happy to see them, you know.
I think that about the Dugars, the family that has like the 80
the
kids.
17
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, because I'm like, that sucks because like you're making people be siblings that are never going to give a shit about each other.
Yeah they're never
the
going to be
Duggars?
Close.
The Duggars? Is it the Dugars?
You know, the Dugars.
That's like
the Chapatarge.
I
don't know that I've ever had to say their name out loud. I just went for it.
But yeah. It's nice to have like a full-on community, you know? That's something that's kind of missing, I think. And comedy's like that, too. You know what? It's kind of like your peeps in comedy. Like, you see each other all the time, and you actually have the opportunity to get annoyed with people.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I think that, like, sometimes, like, in adulthood, it's like you see the people that are important to you so infrequently that it's just, like, you'll meet up for coffee and be like, oh, like, what have you been doing? And then just sort of, like...
You can't synopsize that in coffee.
Yeah. And you never, like, get, like... I don't know. Just into the relationship.
Yeah, you don't get into the
more.
Meat of it.
Yeah, it's hard. Do you think that place is haunted at all?
You know, Kyle Kinane asked me about that last night.
Awesome.
He said that he wanted to know the same thing. I don't know if it's haunted by a ghost, but I would definitely say that there is kind of a weird, dark, sexually repressed energy.
There's a vibe.
Oh, you stayed there.
I stayed there in January, and like every night that I would go to sleep, I kept thinking like, oh, I wonder if any nuns died in this room. And then I was like, oh, stop thinking about it. And then you can't.
I would be too freaked out.
Yeah. And then I just kept thinking about it. I was like, is this where they were laying when they died?
I think it's a weirdly
monster.
I think it's kind of a neat energy in there. It's kind of,
I mean, I loved it. It was great.
It's sort of like,
yeah,
but it definitely has like a weird kind of religious vibe.
Mm-hmm. Once you get religion in a space, it's hard to get enough sage to get it out.
Yeah.
But I think that it's not...
It's more spiritual now.
Yeah,
that place.
It's kind of... Yeah. I mean, it's an art collective now, and that sort of seems like a type of repurposed spirituality.
A natural progression. Yeah, I would agree.
Well,
I lived in a commune-ish situation for like 4 years, and yeah, same
thing. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I miss it. Oh, I miss my commune.
Yeah, well, it's like you're a bunch of artists praying to a different god.
Yeah, exactly.
An actual god.
Yeah.
I just
the god of fame.
I just miss people. I miss
fame,
people to be like, you guys, I'm having a shrooming party if anyone wants to come.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to come to the living room.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
No.
We usually don't have as many intense relationship questions.
But that's MySpace.
It's very MySpace.
Yeah. I don't believe in love at first sight, but I definitely believe in
attraction
at first interaction.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Definitely. Like, there's this boy that I've been so hot for him for years. Mm-hmm. I said boy because he's really, like, he's
a boy
of age, but he's not a mature adult person.
Right.
Yeah.
But the first time we met, he was like, what's going on with you? And I was just like, oh my God, I'll never be free. And that was like years ago. Yeah. Have you guys stooped yet? Yeah, a few times. It's like, you know what? Honestly, not that great.
Really?
Yeah. I think because there's something like, there's like too much. There's too much.
Are you putting too many stakes on it or something?
It's just like, I think it was somebody that you have that level of kind of intense feelings for.
Uh-huh.
It's either going to be love or it's going to just be weird. It's just going to be like, oh, like
there was a disconnect.
Yeah. Like, you know that I want to eat you.
Yeah.
And like lock ourselves in a room and just fucking eat Chinese food forever. And that's like a weird vibe. Like sometimes it's just like, it's just more chill.
It's intense.
It's too intense.
Sometimes you're not in the let's fucking eat Chinese food for the rest of your life.
It's kind of weird to have that level of intensity with someone that you don't have a lot of emotional connection with.
Right. With someone who you don't even like care to know what their parents are like.
I would say that eventually I became friends with this person because it was just like, because we just needed to take the edge off a little bit.
Sure.
So we started talking about our families and our common interests and stuff. And it kind of chilled it out. That sort of diminished the attraction a little bit. But it's nicer now.
But you know, it's like the back burner there.
Yeah. No, it's definitely like, it's, you know, it's definitely always part of it.
I hate the ones that are always part of it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Why does there have to be some that are always there?
Yeah.
But it's just, I get it too. I've been in those situations too where now I'm just like, oh, calm down. Like, it's not really, it's nothing, but like, you just know that it's like floating.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like we actually have sort of a mutual agreement to just be polite, and it's a little bit awkward, but it's like, yeah, we're not doing like the weird hate fuck thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're doing. Right now, we're eating a sandwich. We're talking about our plans for the weekend.
But
But in January, it's on, baby.
That'd be like a New Year's hate fuck.
I think we're probably gonna fuck once a year for a long time. He'd be super mad if you heard me say that. But if history is any indicator.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Worst things have happened. That's
that
great.
Brings me to the question I found. I can't find it right now, but what is the worst sandwich?
That's very relevant.
She said sandwich.
Tuna salad. Yeah. Oh, God, gross.
That's correct.
Oh, really?
That's, everything's wrong with it.
Tuna salad.
Mayonnaise and tuna.
Thank you, girl.
Are the two worst things.
And
then pickles
name
are like also bad.
I'm not with you on that. But
but in a sandwich, relish. Like, usually people put relish on a tuna salad.
Yeah. No. The smell.
The smell. Why would you eat something that smells like that?
I was telling Whitney this morning about how my old roommate that used to live there used to make, I think I've talked about this, but whatever, boiled macaroni with canned chicken and mayonnaise.
Oh my God.
And he made it once every 3 months.
He's from the Midwest?
I don't know. He's fucking from Long Beach.
He's the worst.
I don't know what where
that's
he came
disgusting.
From.
That's disgusting.
But he would make it. That was the only food he ever made. Would make it once every 3 months and leave this huge thing of it in the fridge for 3 months. It was like, it was a nightmare.
Oh God! I would move out.
That's like what a little kid makes food with. Like that's like you playing house and your parents actually give you ingredients that are going bad.
Yeah.
No, here, do something with this.
He was the same guy that put up a giant Ice Age 2 poster behind his bed because I literally think he was like, hey, this covers my wall. Like just no concept.
He was basic.
When I came home every day, he'd be watching Natty Ice and watching Scrubs reruns. Drinking Natty Ice.
Yeah.
No. Man.
Every day at 5 p.m. every day.
That makes me really sad.
Yeah.
That's the thing about driving Lyft is I'm just driving basics to work each day. The shit that they talk about, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, why do you fucking care about this bullshit?
What do they talk about?
I bet I like it.
Happy hour.
Like it?
You know?
Yeah, like, they love talking about happy hour.
They talk about happy hour a lot.
The club.
They talk about happy hour. They talk about marketing a lot.
They're all into marketing.
They all
majored in communication.
Some of them
are into social media. Which is like marketing.
They love Froyo. Love frozen yogurt.
Love it.
Talk about it all the time.
That's true.
Everything except the marketing. And I've done copywriting.
They're real great.
Oh, I feel like a San Francisco basic. That surprises me that San Francisco basics are so basic.
San Francisco, that's the thing. 95% of San Francisco is super basic.
Yeah.
It's just that the non-basics are so visible that they seem like they're more.
I think so, yeah. And I think the city used to be less basic than it is right now.
So they're clinging on to that.
Yeah.
There are basics everywhere. And there's a basic inside of all of us, too.
Oh, there's a basic outside of me.
Yeah. Dude, I know that there's a basic
in me. I've got a high percentage.
Yeah, you're basic, too.
I didn't say I wasn't.
I know that when I get really sad about a boy that the Taylor Swift lately has been coming immediately.
We're talking Blink's
Blink Shake Space. It Off.
Oh, Shake It Off is a good song for when you're just pissed.
Yeah.
Shake it off.
Why don't you all shake it off?
We're going to open a coconut water and BRB. Guys, we are back. I am Tess Barker.
I'm Brandy Posey.
You know me. And we're here with our guest, Kate Willer.
Wow, mysterious. Kate, do you want to help us solve a lady problem?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. First, we need to play.
Don't use yogurt.
Lady problems.
So, thoughts on the song?
It just made me think about yeast infections a lot.
Lady problems over and over?
Sure. I was also wondering who wrote the music. Did you guys write it yourself all together?
As we went along.
Not the music.
From a site somewhere that David found. If you have lady problems, listeners, ladytolady at maximumfun.org.
I feel like that music was found in like one of those tampon boxes, like in a bathroom at a rave at the Forum in 1998.
The music, it sounds like the music that would play when a genie comes out of like a shitty lamp and you're just like, no, I don't want that genie.
You're like,
go away. Yeah. That genie's putting on mascara in its rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Today's the day.
Okay. Lady problem.
Okay.
My fiance and I have been engaged for about a year now. We're getting married in September. We moved in together last August, so of course I've become more aware of his little quirks and habits. Recently, I made the mistake of looking at his phone too closely, and I realized that he takes pictures of other women in public. For example, if there's an attractive girl in tight yoga pants at the gym, he'll sneak a picture of her ass. I know he isn't cheating, but I still find this extremely disrespectful to me. We all have wandering eyes to an extent, right? If a hot guy runs past me on the beach, I'm going to window shop the goods. But to take a picture? I feel like he's crossing a line. Am I being irrational? Or is it no different than watching porn or looking at pictures on the internet? Note, I don't mind if he watches porn. I do it too when I'm bored or I can't sleep. But I feel that taking pictures of real women in public takes the fantasy of pornography and turns it into the possibility of being unfaithful. Why does he need to take a picture? Am I not good enough or hot enough for him? I've recently lost 20 pounds and worked my way down to a size 0, but it seems like a waste of time that I can't keep his attention. We talked about it, and I let him know how I was feeling. He swore to me that he would stop, and then he apologized. But he also swore that all men do it. Mm-hmm. Am I being paranoid? Is it really something that I'm going to have to get him to terms with as we get closer to becoming husband and wife? Or am I having the wool pulled over my eyes? Ladies, you're a bunch of bad bitches. I appreciate your help.
Oh, boy.
Girl.
Dude.
There's a lot here.
Yeah.
Number one, no, not all men do that. Most.
No.
And definitely not all good men do that.
Well, it seems like it's a specific sexual fetish.
It seems like a fetish
this guy has for secretly photographing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, without their consent. I would say so for sure.
Yeah. And it is, but it seems like that's his thing that he's really into, and it's kind of not okay to do.
No.
Well, and I think really what
he's violating strangers.
Definitely, yes. I do think all men check out attractive women, obviously.
Yeah. But photographing
all
them,
women
but
check
level.
Out attractive men.
But I think he's taking that extension and including this, lumping that this into that behavior, and this is not the same behavior.
But
no.
It's really super creepy as fuck. I'm not excusing it at all.
No,
but I think that there's levels of it. Like, if he were posting those pictures on the internet or something.
But she doesn't know that he's not doing that.
Yeah.
Honestly, to me, this is the tip of the iceberg kind of creepiness that, like...
There's more.
I know that there's forums full of men who post these pictures, who share them all over the place. You don't know that he's not doing that. I mean, hopefully he's not, but, like, to me, that indicates... The fact that he doesn't know it's wrong indicates something.
Do you guys
worse.
Think that would change things if he was posting things on the internet?
No, I think it's just as bad.
Just adds.
Me too. Yeah.
I think it would be way worse if he were posting it on
really?
The internet. Yeah, I think that that's
I guess it
level.
Is because that's another having, level of violation.
Because that's actually harming the... That's
but he
causing
is harming the woman.
Harm
he's giving to himself. Why is it other men different than just him having
but
it?
I guess, you know? And I agree, but I guess what is the difference... If you say he's giving it to himself, what is the difference between taking the photo and putting it in your spank bank? What is the difference?
Because
and
I agree. I just think I it's think a direct it, violation taking the picture. I just
taking
don't
a
know.
Picture makes someone a possession.
It is super creepy. Yeah. I think it's the
you
shittiest.
Didn't take their consent. Like a right. glance is like you can't control that, but like taking a picture is just not.
It requires just, intentional action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then keeping them like that.
Yeah.
And I just do feel something in my gut tells me that this is not the only thing that he's... I'm sorry that I'm saying this, but maybe it's true, who knows. But like a lot of these guys do share this shit online.
Yeah, they're called
I mean,
upskirts,
the thing that
they're
kind of
Reddit,
makes me wonder
bad.
About, you know, what's going on. And like if this guy is like a douche in other ways, is it like she...
You've lost all
seems
this weight.
She seems to have so much insecurity in this relationship, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Which is either like insecurity that she brought... with her already
or that he's perpetuating
or the relationship is kind of
either
weird,
way
weird
he's not helping with it
no.
if it is insecurity that she brought already being with somebody who's taking unsolicited pictures of strangers and making you feel as though you should always I'm sorry there are hot people all over the world all over everywhere on every fucking Twitter Instagram everything you should always feel like the most beautiful person in the world to your significant other
I think so I 100%. Mean I've had relationships with a few different guys that really saw women as objects. And it was incredibly demoralizing to like...
I've been involved with guys like that too. It's very demoralizing.
To be like just even if they were nice to me, it was just the fact that they thought about women that way. I don't mean that they watch porn, okay? Like there's levels of all this shit. Like, if they, you know, most guys watch porn. Like
most people watch porn.
A lot of women watch porn.
Yeah.
But... like there was definitely like something about like the guy like couldn't make the jump all the way to that women were all the way people.
Yeah.
And that ended up being incredibly damaging to my self-esteem. And I remember having those thoughts about like, you know, if I were just prettier, if I were thinner, you know, would he like me? And then the next person they're with is always like some super hot lady who like never talks in public. And I don't know anything about their job, but I know like a lot about their butthole.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's really awkward. And it's like with a little time and a little distance from that relationship, it wasn't like, oh no, it wasn't because like I wasn't pretty enough or whatever.
But
it was that guy has some intimacy problems.
But it's so hard to see the forest from the trees. Like when you're in it, the problem is, I mean, you're literally, when you're sleeping with someone, you're literally internalizing, like you're physically allowing that person in your
inside
body.
Of you.
So yeah, you're literally internalizing like whatever they're telling you, and you don't even, I don't think, consciously realize the degree to which it's affecting your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because you start to agree, oh yeah, I'm not pretty enough. It is because I haven't lost enough weight. It's me. It's like, no, it's not you.
I mean, I think that the kind of like the one kind of core issue that seems like it's going on in this relationship is this guy, he kind of sounds like he's not like opening up and like sharing and being vulnerable all the way.
Yeah,
because
like, if you had like a, hopefully you're open-minded. I obviously would not approve of you secretly taking pictures of women, but if you wanted to talk to me about this fetish you have, I would talk to you about it. The fact that he's hiding it is obviously a huge problem.
He knows he's hiding it. He's not being considerate of those women's boundaries. No. It just seems
that's
like
bad. Knows that's wrong. There's no question.
Because you don't. I don't think that those doubts. I mean, like, it's almost impossible in this society that we live in right now to not have like extreme doubts about your appearance as a woman. Sometimes, I mean, just like all the fucking shitty cultural.
It's everywhere.
Messaging. Yeah, and I don't think that that's a thing that guys can really understand.
No, but being in a relationship with somebody who sees women as objects and doesn't really get that they're like people with emotions and thoughts and agency, that really amplifies it a lot.
Well, it's like he's taking pictures of women and he's making them things in his phone for his own pleasure. Like that's what it is, and it's non-consensual. It's different from porn. Like porn, like those people are being paid and like that's what they've chosen to do, and that's fine. This is completely unacceptable.
Yeah,
completely unacceptable.
So what does she do? I mean, they're engaged. This is not like dating, you know. They're engaged to be married in September.
Oh my god.
I mean, I think the first thing, if you, I personally say fuck this guy, I'm sorry, but I'm over it.
If you want the harsh truth, that's
if you
deal.
Want the harsh truth, I think you deserve truth. Way better than this.
Yeah,
if you really want to salvage it, I get into counseling immediately. Both of you together and separately.
Until it gets to the point that he's no longer... because it is also... he's diminishing her feelings by saying that all guys do it. No. Yeah. Except that you did something that made her uncomfortable. Don't try to make her... that's basically a way of saying you're crazy.
Well, Yeah. I mean, he might be having, like, just a kind of a shame reaction.
And instead he apologized, so we don't know where that lies.
Yeah. You know? But he's obviously still bothering her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, and he said that all guys do it. That's the problem.
I mean, to me, it seems like there's this kind of... like, if we take the creepy pictures out of it, like,
there's still
they both
else
have
going
a
on.
They both have like real secret emotional lives from each other, and not
that's not
honest two way communication, and that's not always a thing that means that a relationship has to end. But I would say like maybe consider postponing the wedding, or at least getting some. You
definitely
know,
getting counseling,
talking about it.
Yeah, even if it's not just like the creepy pictures, it's. How do you see women, and then does he see you this way as well? Because this is what
he does.
He does.
If you're like, it takes it's a really fucking hard thing in society. Yeah. I think to like have a deep sense of your own worth as a woman.
Yes,
and that's kind of an individual path. Like that's never going to come just from your boyfriend. But
you also need him to understand that you do have worth.
Yeah,
beyond what he deems.
And I think that committing to somebody from a place of like, am I good enough for this guy? Mm-hmm. Like, what a more joyful thing to commit from, like, I choose this person.
Because he deserves me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or because I enjoy the connection that we have. Because this person is my best friend and he fucks me real good.
That, by the way, is all only two real set, you know, things you need. Yeah. And it's also like, girl, you are already a size zero. You don't have any more weight to lose. That is also something that's really
Good. Yeah, I mean, there's like a full-on eating disorder.
Yeah, it sounds like he's driving you to some pretty destructive behaviors. Yeah. Because you obviously didn't need to lose weight if you lost 20 pounds and you're now a non-number. Yeah. So if you did feel like you needed to lose weight, which you didn't, it should have been motivated from any other place than trying to get your fucking fiance to find you attractive.
And guys
that
don't
is not
fucking
okay.
care.
No,
like,
well, no.
Men do not fucking care if you're a little bit chubby. They fucking love it.
A little bit chubby, but 20 pounds ago, she was, I mean, she's a zero now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying this lady's chubby.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that the whole thing about, like, the obsession with losing weight, like, it's pretend. That's for magazines. Like, actual men
don't care.
No.
But you're not in... that's just indicative of the fact that this is not a functioning relationship.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
And I'm sorry. I feel bad because I know, obviously, this is, like, a relationship you're in. You're engaged. Mm-hmm. And, like, you discovered something really harsh and you must be going through a fucking horrible time right now.
I'm glad you
just don't have a kid
now.
With this guy, because if you marry this guy for 2 years and it doesn't work out and you get a divorce,
no big D.
NBD.
Yeah.
But don't have a kid with him right now.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that she can do to help him grow? Because like it could be he's just like a guy that has, there are a lot of guys that like come around to feminism and like understanding that women are people later in life. Like, are, is there anything that he, that she can do to like help him?
Honestly, I think so. I mean,
the harsh truth is he seems like a douchebag, and yes, but I'm trying to like think if there's like,
I think I was being all the way vulnerable about her feelings.
What
like
if
not?
She, yeah, what if she went around and started taking pictures of guys' dongs?
Yeah, do you want to? Do you want us to send you? We have dick pics. Email us. Email us if you want some like revenge dick pics.
Yeah,
do you have a ton of dick pics?
People send us dick pics. Yeah, we have some.
Any really good ones?
We have some. This one girl did really cute stuff. She photoshopped like little scenes around them.
She like MS painted them.
Yeah,
they're great.
But I think like, I think actually being super honest with him about how this feels to her, not in an arguing way.
No, but just being straightforward.
Like, I think that the way that we help men see women as people, it's like fucking infuriating sometimes that we have to do that.
Yes,
but. It is a thing that, like, sometimes even really good, well-intentioned men like need a little bit of education. That, like, guess what? We're similar inside. And the way that happens, I think, is just by being really honest. And and that's one of the things I love so much about comedy. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, I guess if you want to give him another chance, then I would agree. Have a very candid conversation where, and maybe I would write down ahead of time like what exactly your feelings are so that you can articulate them really well. So you have bullet points ready to go,
preferably with a counselor.
They need, if they're going to stay together, they need some kind of therapy.
It also feels like she needs someone that can back her up with like facts of some kind. Like if he's just like, oh no, all men do this, it's like
he might know that they don't.
He has to feel ashamed of himself.
I don't know if he knows. I mean,
he doesn't know that all of his friends aren't taking pictures of girls' asses all the time.
Because, like, guys, I think guys, when they hang out with each other, I think, I've never been a guy hanging out with other guys, but I think they do talk about, like, girl, you know, they do objectify
not
women.
Not all guys do, though.
I think a lot of guys, when they hang out without women, do
not
objectify women.
I think a lot of guys
don't even talk to each other that much when they hang out alone.
Yeah.
They talk about girls, though. Not all of anyone does anything, but I think it's a common theme of conversation. I think hot women are a common theme of conversation among many guys.
Maybe hot women, but not like, hey, check out the ass.
I don't think he's saying that to his friends. I think he's agreeing that they're hot. In his head, I think it's possible that he thinks
he's equating this.
It's too bad that there's not like another. This is one of the things about living in community that I think is really good, is that there's multiple people to sort of reflect back to you.
You have support.
And I think that, like, this is one of those things about, like, people getting too private, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, there's nobody to, like, there's not, like, another dude to be like, no, like, this shit is, like, fucking creepy, but, like, check out this porno. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That's actually not a bad idea, though. Do you have guy friends? Like, maybe you need to talk to a guy friend about this.
Yeah, if you have close friends, talk to them about what's going on. Don't, like, let this be, like, a super secret. You need support right now. You need friends, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, like, if you do, I mean, do what you're going to do, but, like, if you do end up calling off the engagement, realize that, like, whatever discomfort comes with that is temporary, and it's so much better.
It'll be for the best.
It's better to have found this out now.
And if you go through the wedding and, in 2 years you get divorced, that's also better than having a child.
But I also don't think that this guy is necessarily a monster. Like, he might be a person with a really weird, strong fetish that he doesn't have any, like...
Yeah, the scale. We don't know the scale.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not saying it's an okay thing to do. No.
I think you do need to call out to him that, like, if this is his behavior, then it's clear that it's some kind of a fetish. And if he's not ready to...
If he's going to go on with his life, whether they break up or not, he's going to need to deal with the fact that this might be a problem for the women he's going to be with, and B, for the women he's taking pictures of.
Is there a creative solution to like practicing
dress
the
up
fetish
a mannequin
in some way? Like, could he like take pictures of her ass in public or something
exactly.
like that?
Yeah.
Like, is
that's
there
a consensual
like,
way
yeah,
of
if
dealing with it?
Like, are there like, if this is like a deep seated part of like his sexual desire, like, is there some sort of way to do this
to have you be part
people?
Of it,
right?
Or
if you guys can arrive at a situation that you're comfortable with, that I guess you're not included in, like, maybe
there's some kind of porn he can look at or something. I don't know. But it needs to be something that you're comfortable with. And if it's not something that you're comfortable with, it just can't go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Oh, boy. That's... I'm sorry. Good luck. Let us know what happens.
We're really sorry.
And we're here for you.
Yes.
Yeah. You're beautiful regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And men don't care what you look like.
No.
Well, yeah. They kind of do, but I mean, like, only on the surface level. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think it's like,
of course,
you know, like on that deep level, like, everybody I think is searching for a real honest connection. And yeah, yes, some people are so closed off from themselves emotionally that they don't never even realize that they want that.
Yeah.
But that's what's underneath all of us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone's going to marry you and like there's a 10 pounds is the make or break for the wedding, that's not a person you're going to marry.
Yeah.
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 Oh, boy. Well, okay. Send us your lady problems if you need us to tell you to break up with your fiance.
Yeah.
Oh, lady at MaximumFun.org.
Maximum Fun.
Where can people find you on the internet?
So my website is katewillett.com, and my Twitter is at katewillett.
Hell yeah. So go follow her on there.
I know. Willett
has
two L's and two T's.
See her live. She's hilarious.
You
open for Margaret Cho a lot, right?
Yeah, I've been doing some featuring for Margaret Cho lately.
That
has been a ton of fun.
See her with Margaret. Yeah. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.